Well, welcome. I am very, very excited about this study. When Jill said that she wanted to take a break from teaching, because she had taught, I think, two or three lessons in a row, semesters, I was like, yes, I will teach. And I think I know what I want to teach. So how many of you here have not been with us to do any Christy Gantt studies? Okay. You're going to love this. I do have to say it is not like maybe your typical study, because there is homework. There's lots of homework. You will spend a lot of time in the Word. It doesn't really matter what Christy Gantt says, but it does matter what the Word says. And that's why we love these studies so much, because you are forced to interact with the Word of God. And that's where change comes from, is the living Word. So very excited about leading this. Now I want to give you an idea of what to expect. So there are 10 lessons in your book. Everybody have a book? Okay. There are 10 lessons in the book, and you can do this study multiple ways. You can do one lesson every week, or you can do one lesson every other week. You can break up all the lessons, but we don't have 20 weeks, and we have more than 10. So what we've done is taken some of the lessons and broken them in half, because the study's designed to do that if you want to. And on these times when there are, when the study's broken in half, I'm super excited about it, because there are other things I will be bringing in. We will be doing a study on the tabernacle, which I'm very excited about. We will be doing a study on, I guess they call it a lecture. Don't get scared. But I will be teaching on the tabernacle. I'll be teaching on meditation. Scriptural meditation, which is of utmost importance. And there are a couple other things that I'll be teaching on. So on those weeks when it's split in half, have no fear. We will have plenty of material, but it will be new to you. So that's kind of exciting. So do you guys have the schedule in your book? Did you get it with your book?
Yes.
Okay, you do have the schedule. I would encourage you now, this is a great idea, now or when you get home, is to go through your book, and on lesson one, write January 20th. That's the day we will be doing it. And then on day four of lesson one, write January 27th. That way, if you miss a week or we take a break, because we will be taking off for the conference, and we will be taking spring break, which is the public school spring break, because a lot of people vacation during that time. And then we will take off for Good Friday. Yes, we're not taking off for the Naples Conference. But anyway, and then our last lesson will be May 5th. But just so you don't get confused, if you write it at the top, you'll know when that lesson is due. And if you miss one, you'll know when to jump in. So that's kind of important there. I would like you to open your books and turn to page 9 in your book. It's entitled About This Study. And I just want to go through this a little bit. And why I'm so excited about holiness. It is both an attribute of God, and it is a call to believers. It's both something we possess and something we are to pursue. God loves to do that, doesn't he? His thoughts are so much higher than ours. We go, what? It is a matter of utmost importance, because as Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So, this course will bring you into a deeper and more life-changing knowledge of your holy God. It will encourage you and equip you to pursue the holiness that God requires and calls every believer to pursue. Now, whether you have a good fundamental knowledge of the biblical truths on holiness or you're relatively new to it, you will be able to learn much from this study. It is a study of the Word of God, and we know that there is no bottom to the Word of God. We can study it for the rest of our lives and never plumb its depths. So I think you will always find something here. Now, does it matter what version of the Bible I use? She uses, in the study, she uses the New King James Version. You can use the New American Standard. You can use the ESV, the English Standard Version. I would not recommend a translation like the Living Bible, because that's a paraphrase. You're going to have a hard time answering the questions. For some of them, you might want to check different versions, because like Hebrews 12:14, which says, pursue the holiness, it says, pursue peace with all men. And in the NASB, which is my favorite version, it says, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So that word is hagiosmos. It is translated holiness in other places. But that just gives you a little bit, sanctification can be, you know, interchanged with holiness. That's a good place for you to meditate. So I would encourage you, use your favorite version, but check other versions. See what it says. See where it's different, if you can. That's a great help. Don't be afraid to invite someone if we get 4 weeks into the study and you meet somebody new at church. Don't be afraid to invite them, because it's very easy to come in, and as long as you do days 1 through 3 of lesson 1 to get a good foundation, then they can jump in wherever we are and later go back and do those previous, the ones that they missed. So don't say, oh yeah, we have a lady study, but we're halfway through. You know, No, invite them, okay? We will get them a book. We will make it possible, and we can catch them up, and they can learn. So please feel free to invite, no matter how far we are through the study, invite people if you meet them in the sanctuary, or anywhere, actually.
Specifically, though, right?
Just wanted to clarify. Now, here's something that's very important that I am telling myself more than I'm telling you, and that is, remember to pray. When you sit down to do your study for the week, please pray. Pray and ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to focus. Help me to push out distractions. Help me to understand your word. It's really vital that we understand we're dependent on God and on his Spirit to understand his word. And you will get so much more out of the study if you approach it with a prayerful attitude. So I would really encourage you to try to remember that. If you have to go and write it at the top of every lesson, pray first. Do that, because that will be extremely helpful. We also have, let's turn to page 32 in your books. Occasionally, a lesson will contain an assignment that's longer than usual. Now, some of these weeks, we're going to be doing a whole lesson in a week, and that's a lot of work. So that's the other thing I would say to you is be prepared. Be prepared to set aside time each day to work on this, because this is not the kind of study. If you really want to pursue this, you really want to learn what God has to say about holiness, you are going to have to spend time. You cannot, you know, sit down Thursday morning and blow through this study unless you have hours to do it. But I would encourage you to try to do some each day in small bites. Meditate on it. Take your time and go through it and glean as much as you can. It's important. So be prepared for that. And if you don't get it all done, please show up anyway, okay? You can always go back and finish what you didn't do. So please show up, because each week I will be bringing in things that are not in the book. So you can go back and listen to them later, but I would encourage you to be here, because the prayer groups and the lecture time and the sweet fellowship is not to be compared or not to be skipped, okay? But as you look at page 32, so sometimes there are assignments in there that are longer than usual. Notice on that page that some of the references are in bold print and some are not in bold print. If your time is limited, then try to do the ones in bold print because they will give you a good broad overview. If you have more time, you'll be super blessed by doing all of the scriptures. But if you don't have time, do the boldface ones at least and do them in that order because that is the way she has designed this study. And remember, if you are pressed for time, it is better for you to spend more time going deeper on fewer scriptures than to skim across the surface and just grab little snippets from a whole bunch of verses, okay? That, you know, we're not doing this to check the box. We're doing this so that we might be more holy at the end of this study and more equipped to become holy when we get done. We are not here to say, oh, look, I finished my study. I have something written in every box. That's not why we're here. We're here to let the Word of God change us. Mm-hmm. So let Him do that. He wants to do that. I would also, each lesson contains a memory verse, and they have little boxes at the top of each page that have blank spaces, and you have to try to figure out how to write it in. I'm kind of belligerent. I really like the NASB, so I tend to write in my version. I have messed myself up before by learning. There was a time I did the NIV, and now I have verses that are both ways in my head, and I don't know which is which. So if you really like one version, you can memorize it in that version. Otherwise, if you like the King James, the New King James, memorize it in that. But memorize it. Because that's one of the ways God changes us, is when we hide His Word in our heart. And then He uses that, and that's what the Holy Spirit brings out and convicts us. Have fun with that. He convicts us with His Word, and He teaches us with His Word. But if it's not in our heart and in our mind, you know, if we're sitting before it, that's great. I have a friend who has recently told me that she is systematically going through each book of the Bible and memorizing the outline, the main themes, the topics, the key verses, pretty much what our pastors have had to do to be ordained. She is setting her mind that way because she expects that one day she may not have a Bible available to her. Something to think about. We know that the persecution's getting heavy. I hope I die before then. But if the Lord should tarry and I should live on for some reason and see that day, I would hope I have enough scripture in my heart and mind that the Lord could still work through me. So I would encourage you to do your scripture memorization. Sometimes you will see repeated scripture references and you'll go, wait, we already read that one in a previous lesson. Read it, because obviously there is only one interpretation to each verse, but there are multiple applications for each verse. And so we will come across verses and they'll be sort of familiar because you'll say, we already read that one, but it will be applied in a different way. So that's just the multifaceted nature of Scripture. So please don't be bored or anything with that. Now, if you turn to page 22 to 23 in your book. I will be lecturing. This talks about meditation. And I would encourage you, if you have never studied meditation, if you have time to do a side study on that, that would be a great thing. Joel Beakey has a YouTube video on the Puritan practice of meditation, because the Puritans had meditation down to an actual method of how you meditate. So if you're a little lost on that, that would be a good endeavor. If you don't have time for that, that's fine. We'll be going into this, but not until lesson 9, because it was tabernacle or meditation, and I could do meditation later, so we're not going to get to it till chapter 9. But on pages 22 and 23, there are some helps with that. If you, wait a second,
What was that site you said to go to?
Yeah, let me look at that. I may have. Look in my book, 22 to 23. Okay. The point of that, at the end of every lesson, you will never be directed to go to these pages, but at the end of every lesson, there are blank pages that say, Meditations of My Heart. Now, you may come across scripture verses that sort of pop out to you, and you go, And after some time meditating, you may gain some insights from that meditation. Feel free to write them down here. That's a fascinating thing to go back to ponder, or even to share when we're doing the study together. I would love to hear if anybody gains insights from some of the scriptures that they've meditated on that are in the study to share those. That would be wonderful. But I would encourage you to take advantage of that, those pages at the end of each lesson, if something stands out to you, just so there's a record. So that's what those pages are for at the end of each lesson. Now, does anybody have any questions about anything? Yes?
How do you spell Beeky, Joel's last name?
Beeky. It's, yeah, B as in boy, E-E-K-E. And it's the Puritan practice of meditation. And it's an audio file. It's a little disturbing because they have a picture of him. And then there's audio, but he doesn't move. It's just a picture of him. So don't look at it. Just listen to it. But it's very fascinating.
There is one where he is.
Is there one?
Video.
Yes. Oh, I haven't found that one.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Edie says there is one where you can watch him. Any other questions? Okay. Because this is an introductory night, we're going to take it at a little bit of a slow pace. Right now, I'm trying to figure out how to break you guys up. Maybe these two tables, and then those two tables. You guys can turn around and face each other, and then two, and break yourselves up however you want. Maybe that last table, you can turn around and do the people behind you, and the last two rows can do. I don't know if you ladies want to, because you already know each other. You guys can mix in with the ladies back there. The point of this is that we do have new ladies, and if you're like me, and I'm terrible with names, just awful with names, I forget the names of my kids. So don't feel bad if I forget your name, because I mixed up my son with the dog the other day. But I don't. I would like us to get to know each other a little bit better, because this semester, we are going to do the same prayer groups that we did. Now, usually we switch up prayer groups. So you actually spend a semester with a group of ladies, and then the next semester you spend with a different group. But we are going to keep the same prayer groups. We will be taking people who are new and added in and adding them into the prayer groups. But I would like you to take some time right now just to get to know each other. So I actually have a question for you, and we're going to keep this brief. I mean, we do have about an hour here, but we do have a lot more things to go through. We're going to actually dive into this study a little bit. But what I would like you to do, if I can find it in my notes, is briefly share your name, a little bit about your family. Like, are you married, not married? Do you have children? How long you've lived in the area, because that's always an exciting thing, you know. If you live in a little Wisconsin town, it's probably, you know, I was born here, but not here. And then I would like you to answer this question briefly, because these are going to be kind of big groups with six ladies in them. What is your favorite time of day, and what is your favorite month of the year, and why? So your favorite time of day and your favorite month. And why? So that will help us get to know each other a little bit better. So right now, if you guys can turn and face each other and work on that, just maybe groups of six or eight ladies.
Thank you.
A farmer plows his field, sows the seed, and fertilizes and cultivates, all the while knowing that in the final analysis, he is utterly dependent on forces outside himself. He knows he cannot cause the seed to germinate, nor can he produce the rain and sunshine for growing and harvesting the crop. For a successful harvest, he is dependent on these things from God. Yet, the farmer knows that unless he diligently pursues his responsibilities to plow, plant, fertilize, and cultivate, he cannot expect a harvest at the end of the season. In a sense, he is in a partnership with God, and he will reap its benefits only when he has fulfilled his own responsibilities. Farming is a joint venture between God and the farmer. The farmer cannot do what God must do, and God will not do what the farmer should do. We can say just as accurately that the pursuit of holiness is a joint venture between God and the Christian. No one can attain any degree of holiness without God working in his life, but just as surely, no one will attain it without effort on his own part. God has made it possible for us to walk in holiness, but he has given to us the responsibility of doing the walking. He does not do that for us. So that's kind of an overview of this study and the subject of holiness. Now, 8 reasons every believer should pursue holiness. I would like you to turn in your book to, it's here somewhere, lesson 1. I do not have the page number written down. That's not helpful. 13. Nope, 17. You were close. Okay. Now, remember the questions that you answered. Your favorite time of day, your favorite month of the year. Regardless of how many different answers we gave to that, as believers, we have one thing in common. No matter what time of day or month it is, everything we do should be done in a holy way, with a holy attitude, and holy thoughts. Why? Because God is holy. And he calls each one of us to be holy as he is holy. To be holy in all our ways. To be holy day in and day out, month in, month out. J.C. Ryle, in his introduction to his book on holiness, which is a wonderful book, says, "Sound Protestant and evangelical doctrine is useless if it is not accompanied by a holy life. It is worse than useless. It does positive harm." So, day-to-day holiness doesn't just happen. It's not true, let go, let God. Scripture tells us we must pursue it. That's what this course is about, how to pursue it. Discovering the holy beauty of God in such a way that our hearts will be drawn to pursue and reflect it. So, page 17, we're going to go through these reasons together briefly. So when you get to lesson 1 and you need to go over this, you might want to spend some more time on them. But I'm also going to give you a different homework assignment that I hope you write down, but I'll tell you when we get done. So, reason number 1 there. God is not like us. He is holy. If we want to know and walk with God, we have to understand something about his holiness. So that will be our first thing. We are going to study God's holiness, what it means. Our memory verse, Exodus 15:11. "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness?" So that's what we're going to be focusing on, lesson 1. glorious in holiness. He's worthy of praise and honor because of his holiness. Who has Amos 3:3? Could you read that, please? You can all look up your memory verse, your verses that got handed out now. This is the part where we go over them.
Amos 3:3. Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment?
Okay. Or another word for that is an agreement. How are we to walk closely with God in a holy manner if we don't even know what holiness is, and if we don't understand God's holiness? So we need to study that. It is worthy of our time. Anybody have anything else they want to add to that? Any thoughts? I know it's the beginning. You don't have any thoughts yet. We'll get there. Okay, reason number two. And this should end the study right here. Holiness is commanded by God. How do you argue with that? Everybody has been created for God's glory. Every believer, all creation, everything has been created for his glory. Who has Isaiah 43:7? Can you read that, Jenny, please?
Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made.
Right. There it is. Who are you to speak back to God? God has made us for his own glory. We are chosen to be holy. Who has Ephesians 1:4?
I do. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him.
Did you guys catch that? He chose us. Before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy. That is God. You know, people say, oh, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. I can tell you what the wonderful plan God has for your life. It's that you be holy. It's that simple. I mean, this is not something that is optional. It's not a simple one character trait along with love and kindness and patience. And we should be holy. It is not like that. We are to be holy. And when we are holy, all those other things come. So it is the overarching goal of and purpose of our lives that we be holy and bring God glory.
Amen.
This is why we want to study this. Okay. Number four. Nope. How about number three? Holiness is part of fulfilling God's purpose for my life. And that's the one that we just did. Sorry about that, ladies. Yes, holiness is part of fulfilling God's purpose for my life. It is God's purpose for our lives. Number four, holiness is essential to acceptable worship. You know, it's a common thing, unfortunately. These days, people think they can get to God however they want. They think that they can reach God in their own way, and they can make it up as they go along. But that is not true. God has prescribed what we need to be before we come before him, and holiness is essential before our worship is acceptable to God. Who has Romans 12:1.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Living and holy sacrifice. You know, if you're like me, I never caught that word holy in all these verses before. I just kind of skipped over it, not really giving it much thought. But we are commanded over and over and over again to be holy. This is essential. If we are not holy when we come before God, what happens when we regard sin in our hearts? Does the Lord hear our prayers?
No.
Is our worship acceptable to him when we are regarding? What are we told in the New Testament? If we go to present our offer and we remember that somebody has something against us, what are we to do? Offer it anyway? No. We are to leave it there and go be reconciled. Go clear up that sin, repent of that sin, straighten that relationship out first before we can go to God and offer a sacrifice. So it is essential for us to be accepted and for our worship to be accepted. Okay, number five. That's not number five. Number five. Holiness is essential to effective prayer. Jesus told us, how did he tell us to pray? We are to say to God, hallowed be your name. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the foundational request was, hallowed be your name. If our ultimate desire is not for the holiness of God's character to be manifested and honored, then our prayers are amiss. James 4:3.
You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Right. We ask with wrong motives, and we do not have what we ask for. Who has Psalm 66:8?
Is it 8 or 18?
18. Us testing you.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
Right. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Right. We are to do everything to God's glory. And 1 Peter 4:11.
Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking to the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Right. All glory belongs to him, and we are to do everything so that he receives glory. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. So God's glory is our goal in everything. And if we come before him with unholy hearts, with sin in our hearts, our prayers would not be heard and they will not be answered. So it can be a hindrance to our prayer life. Number six. Holiness is emphasized in Scripture. I know you know all these verses, but I'm, like I said, for me, as I'm reading these verses, I'm like, I know these verses. It just never popped out to me before that God is saying over and over and over again, be holy. There's this free grace movement out there. You know, you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, and what you do doesn't matter. Well, as far as me being justified, no, my good works do not justify me. That is all of God. But sanctification, being holy, no, it does matter what I do. Okay. Holiness is also only the only attribute of God that's repeated three times. When the angel said, holy, 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 that's very significant that they repeated it three times. God puts emphasis on holiness, his own holiness and our holiness. So therefore, we should as well. Who has Isaiah 6:3?
I do. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Right. And who is saying that?
The seraphim.
Yes, the seraphim who surround him. And who has Revelation 4:8?
I do. I'll turn around so you can hear me. Revelation 4:8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.
So day and night the living creatures that surround his throne are calling him holy. Do you think that's important to God? Okay. Reason number 7. Holiness is a prerequisite for seeing the Lord and enjoying heaven. Do you earnestly desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? You must pursue holiness. Hebrews 12:14.
Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord.
What version is that, Megan?
ESV.
ESV. Yeah, I think the NASB is the only one that says uses sanctification there, which can be interchanged, but it is the same Greek word that's elsewhere. It's hagiosmos. It means, it emphasizes purity, holiness, consecration, sanctification. It's the noun form of it. And then hagios is another word, which is the adjective form of that word. And it means pure and blameless and holy. Without that, no one will see the Lord. How do we know a believer when we see them? We know them by what?
Their fruit.
Their fruit, right. Holiness is the fruit that we are to pursue and that God has to work in us. So if you see someone who says, "I'm a believer, of course I'm a believer," but their life has no fruit at all, we have reason to doubt their testimony. Revelation 21:27. Who has that one?
But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right. Enter what? Do you know what he's talking about there? Yes, heaven. So nothing unclean or anything that defiles, which is common, profane, and specifically unholy, will ever enter there. That's part of the joy of heaven for true believers, is there is nothing unclean and nothing unholy there. It is pure and wonderful. But if we are unholy, we have reason to question, will we go there? Will we be there? And last, holiness is not well understood in today's culture. You agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, as I started studying for this, I realized how many questions I had in my mind. And as I started to read different books on holiness, I was like, wow, I thought I knew what holy was, and I didn't. So it is not something that's spoken of commonly, being holy. It's not a common thing, even taught from pulpits, unless you're in a church like this where the Word of God is faithfully preached. Holiness is just not well understood. And I think even if you do have a good handle on it, you can always learn more.
Linda, the book you mentioned, J.C. Ryle, Holiness, 99 cents Kindle version in Amazon right now, in case anybody. When you mention books, I right away put them in because I want to remember to get them, and it popped up that it was.
Yeah, if you guys read on Kindle, it's only 99 cents, so don't let the money stop you.
Figured I would share that.
Okay, so if we are. If we wish to truly understand holiness and to be holy, we must go to the scriptures. That's where we learn about it. Lesson 2 will begin leading you into a much deeper understanding. So don't get frustrated when you do lesson 1 and you go, "I don't really get what holiness is. I don't feel like I have a good handle on it." We will get to it. It is hard for me to do this introduction because I have so many things I want to say, but I don't want to say them prematurely. These studies are very, very thorough, I find, and there's lots of food for thought and study in these studies. So be patient. We will get to it. Now, who has 1 Peter 1:13-16?
Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
Doesn't sound like an option there. You shall be holy. And he calls us ignorant. We were ignorant before we came to Christ, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to be there. Okay. Now, I would like you, if you want to write this down, since we've kind of gone over these eight reasons, your homework is to think of other reasons that we should be holy. I know she took all the easiest ones, so you might have to think about this one. But see if you can come up with any more reasons why we should be holy, and be prepared to share them next week when we go over lesson one, days 1 through 3. Okay, and I have a few more to share that are not in your book, but I will save them for next week. Okay. That's our memory verse for next week. I would encourage you to work on that. Scripture is clear. The Lord has provided everything we need for growth and holiness. He's given us his Spirit, and he's given us his Word. One way or another, everything in the Scriptures, this is an interesting statement. Everything in the Scriptures is given to teach us about God, ourselves, and holiness. We begin, as we begin this pursuit together, may the Lord richly bless this study. Does anybody have any questions or anything about the format, the schedule, what's to be expected? We normally will come in, we will have an intro, we will sing our song, and then we will go over some questions, and usually there will be more material that I will add, and then we will break up into prayer groups. So next week we will let you know what your prayer groups will be, and we can divide up and go to private places.